At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
It's the dictionary.
Hi, word nerds. Dictionary Spencer, F205. The first word in this episode is Franklin. I hope that there were guests on the previous episode. I should be recording that one tomorrow. Oh, I'm sure it was a Frankie good time. So, Franklin, noun from the 14th century. This is a medieval English landowner of free but not noble birth. Oh, that is so sad for them. They are free, which is pretty good, but they're not noble. Noble is the next step above free. Noble is where you can make other people not free. Don't like that, but I guess that's possible. If you are a noble person, you are rich and powerful, possibly. I'm fine just being free. Free to be you and me. Let's be free. Free, free, free. Well, you know, a few episodes ago, we saw your Franck and franchise and all those. Franchise. And it was all from the word free. So, yeah, this is from Middle English. Franklin, from Anglo-French, Franklin, which is from Franck or Frank, and it just means free. So, yeah, a Franklin was somebody in Old English times who owned land and was free, but was not a noble. And so that is where we get the word Franklin, the name Franklin from. If you are named Franklin, then you are free, but you're not a noble. So sorry, you have to work your way up. Ooh, I gotta make a sound effect. I'm gonna go. Next is Franklin Stove. Two words with a capital F. Noun from 1776. Ooh. 1776, trombones led the Constitution. This is a metal heating stove resembling an open fireplace, but designed to be set out in a room. And I think I can generally picture one of these, but I would like to look up a picture for sure. Not a picture in my head, but a picture of on the internet. And we should mention that the inventor of this Franklin stove was none other than Benjamin Franklin. A free man, but not a noble man. Nope, actually, he was probably fairly noble. So the stove, I mean, yeah, it looks like a fireplace. You can put it in different areas, and it's got an open front, and you can cover the front with things as well if you like, but you don't have to. And it's, so I guess, are you using it as a stove to cook things, to probably heat the house? What is this? This is like a... Ah, this is, looks like basically, what do you call it? The patent drawing of this Franklin stove, possibly. There's figures and small Roman numerals. Shows how it all works and gets put together, kind of that sort of thing. Here's another one that actually has Benjamin Franklin's face on it. Yeah, same image, anyway, cool. Franklin stove. Look at me. I've got one of them Franklin stones in my stoves. Not a stone. It's a stove. I don't even know what a stove and a stone are. I got one of them Franklin stoves in my house. I like to cook things on my Franklin stove.
And sometimes Benjamin Franklin comes over and we play with electricity while our soup is cooking.
Next is frankly. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Adverb from 1537. Number one, in a frank manner. As in, spoke frankly. And now, I understand this word frank better. I mean, I haven't even recorded the previous episode, which has all the stuff about Frank, which, of course, you have checked out, you have listened to, you have watched that episode before checking out this one. I think that is the proper way to do things. But I now know from the word frank that when you are speaking in a frank manner, may I be frank? May I be free to speak my mind? That's what it all comes from. That's what it means. Wonderful times. Frankly. Okay, number two. In truth, the synonym is indeed. As in, frankly, I don't know. Indeed, I don't know. In truth, I don't know. Frankly, my dear, to be honest with you, to be frank and candid and clear and free with you, I don't give a damn. I just don't. It seems like this example, frankly, I don't know. They were like, we want to do something similar to that line. Was that from Gone with the Wind? Was it from something else? I don't remember. Haven't seen it. Just know the quote. They wanted to do something similar, but they were like, but we got it. We can't say I don't give a damn in the example. No, we'll just say, frankly, I don't know. The usage information says, go see the word hopefully. So hopefully we'll actually get there at some point. Interesting. I don't know if I've ever seen one of these examples where they say, hey, if you want to know how this is used, go somewhere else. I am not going to read the usage information, but I just wanted to take a quick look at it. Well, it's a lot of stuff about hopefully, but then they add in some synonyms about interestingly, frankly, clearly, luckily, unfortunately. I am definitely not reading this. I don't have the type of brain where I can just scan words and understand it. No, I need to actually focus, and I'm not doing that right now because that would be cheating. Okay, we don't cheat. Well, yeah, frankly, I think we should move on to blah, 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 blah. Frank pledge, one word, noun from the 15th century. This is an Anglo-Saxon system under which each adult male member of a tithing was responsible for the good conduct of the others, also the member himself or the tithing. Is the Frank pledge. So, interesting. Let's look at the etymology. This is from Middle English, Frank pledge. From Anglo-French, Frank pledge. Probably a translation of the Middle English, Fribourg, which means peace pledge. So Frank is free and pledge is pledge. So that's what it is. It's a free pledge. But why is it free? Each adult male member of a tithing. I mean, I think I know tithing in terms of like, you know, giving, you give your money to the church maybe or something, but there must be a different tithing that I'm not aware of. I feel like here where it says tithing, if they're talking about a specific definition, maybe in parentheses, they can be like number one, number 5B, something like that. That would be helpful. Each adult male member of a tithing was responsible for the good conduct of the others. So it's, you're pledging to make sure that everybody is good and not doing bad things. I mean, this seems like a good thing to be doing. A frank pledge. Don't fully understand this, but I'm very curious. All right. Now we shall go. Because we have the word frantic. No more frank words. Nothing else about being free. Frantic is an adjective from the 14th century. Number 1A, which is archaic. This is mentally deranged. Sometimes I feel frantic in this way when I am acting like the Tasmanian devil, and I go, that's it. Number 1B, emotionally out of control. I'm feeling very frantic today. My ADHD is taking over. My OCD is telling me to do things. I'm feeling emotionally out of control. Frantic. Number 2, marked by fast and nervous, disordered, or anxiety-driven activity. Frantically is an adverb, and franticness is a noun. I try not to get frantic, but sometimes it's like, there's so much going on, and it's a little crazy, and I gotta get stuff done fast, and I do not like to rush. I do not like being in that mode. Oh, it's the worst. I want plenty of time to do things. So I'm not frantic, so I'm not rushing. Ugh, that's the worst. Frantic is, blech, don't like that mode. Luckily, I don't get into it very often, but every once in a while, you just can't help it. Sometimes you get a little frantic, and it's like, I don't like it. The etymology says there is more at the word frenetic, which, yeah, that's a good word. That will be in a handful of episodes. Sure will. All right, now I think I don't want to be frantic anymore except when I go. Blah, 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 blah. Next is frap. F-R-A-P. It's a frap. This is a transitive verb from 1548. This is to draw tight. And what might you be drawing tight? You are drawing tight, maybe ropes or cables. Because the example is frap a sail. Seriously, the boaters, the sailors, they have the best terminology because they don't get used anywhere else in the world, I think, just on the boats. And so if you don't do those things, if you're not a sailor, then all of these words just sound like gibberish and fake. I mean, they're all fake anyway, but they just, why? Okay, this word, it's a Middle English word. It means to strike or beat. That's different than this definition. Frap a sail, maybe back in the day you were striking or beating the sail because it was a very bad boy. But nowadays it means, well, since the 1540s, it means to draw tight, tighten the sail. That sail is too loose. We can't sail with a loose sail. Loose sail! We need a tight sail so it can catch the wind. So frap that sail, you dummy. Frap a sail. Go frap a sail. That would be a good insult. Go frap a sail. What? You want me to pull the sail tight? Next is frappe. I much prefer this one. This is the first form of frappe. It is spelled F-R-A-P-P-E. There is an acute accent on the E, whoop, and this is an adjective from 1848. It means chilled or partly frozen. Way back in the 1800s, they were using frappe to talk about something that was chilled or partly frozen. Interesting. Well, this word is French from frapper, which means to strike. Or chill. Chill, dude. Frap a sail, man. Just chill out in a bucket of ice. Now, this seems related. Well, there's also Old French frapper, which means to strike. So this seems related to the previous word frap, because that one was about striking and beating. And then frappe is striking and chilling. Again, don't see the connection. Hitting a thing, cooling down a thing. I don't get it. But I want to know what was a frappe? Well, this is an adjective. Ooh. Pardon me. May I have a frappe drink? I am currently in the 1840s, and I don't really know anything about the 1840s. Maybe we shall sit in the drawing room and have a frappe drink, because we have put it on ice. Ooh, this drink is so frappe. Well, we gotta go to the next one. The second form of frappe, spelled the same. or you don't put on the accent on the E. And you can also pronounce it frap. That second spelling is frap or frappe, either one. This is a noun from 1903, number 1A. A partly frozen drink, and it might be fruit juice. This fruit juice might be partly frozen. Maybe if you were to, I can't help but forget about those concentrate cans of orange juice we had in the freezer when I was a child. Do these things still exist? They must. But you could pull that out, and you could just drink that partly frozen. Let it thaw a little bit. You could drink that partly frozen concentrated orange juice, and that would be a frappe. Number 1B, a liqueur served over shaved ice. But what kind of liqueur is it? Any liqueur? Is it the shaved ice that makes it a frappe?
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Is the liqueur chilled beforehand and then poured over shaved ice? Is the shaved ice going to melt real quick and then it's going to get your drink all watered down? Okay, I don't know, but I want one of those frappes too. Number 2, a thick milkshake. And of course, I mean, we can see a direct connection to the frappuccino, which is probably it's a trademarked term. A frappuccino is one of these thick milkshakes, chilled, not shaken, blended with ice and lots of sugar and whipped cream on top, but also there's some coffee thrown in there. Hence the name Chino, Frappuccino, which they stole from cappuccino, but there's also, but it's not a cappuccino, but you're just using that term to show that there's coffee in it. Do they all have coffee? They must all have coffee. And then, but there, you know, you could have done frappe latte. That's a possibility. Or you could have done frappespresso or a frappresso. That would have been a little harder to say. I'm sure they workshopped all of these. And then they were like, frappuccino is just the best one because it's cappuccino, frappuccino. And so that way it makes sense. I get it. It's fine. It's, you know, it's probably the best option. But, you know, I think frappresso could have been quite nice as well. Just put in the espresso in the frappe. I shall have I haven't had one of those in many, many years. They are chock full of the sugar, which I love, but I should not be enjoying it. Next is Fraser fir. Fraser is one word with a capital F. I would want to say Fraser, but it says you must pronounce it Fraser. Noun from 1897. This is a southern Appalachian fir that resembles the balsam fir. Oh, well, good. Well, I definitely know what a balsam fir looks like, so I can definitely picture a Fraser fir in my mind based on that description. The species name is Abies fraseri, or it could be Abies fraseri. Have no idea how to pronounce that. And you might be wondering where this Fraser word comes from. It is from John Fraser, which could also still be Fraser, I don't know. Although there'd probably be an I if it was. John Fraser was a British botanist who died in 1811. And then 86 years later, they were like, you know, we should probably name a tree after him because he liked trees and stuff. So let's give him a tree. The Fraser fir. Okay. Next is frass. F-R-A-S-S. Check out my frass. Is my frass looking good in these jeans? Noun from 1854. This is debris or excrement produced by insects. Is it their own excrement? Or are they producing some other kind of excrement? When, what is this debris that the insects are producing? Maybe when they are eating away at the house, the wood and stuff, there's parts that fall off. Is that debris? Is that their frass? Maybe if we were to read the etymology, we might get a little bit more information, which we shall do right now. This is a German word, and it means insect damage, but it literally means eating away. So they, in German, fress or frost maybe, means eating away, and it's specifically in terms of the insects making some damage on something, probably a house. It is from Old High German Vraz, or just Vraz, which means food, from Fresan, I don't know how they pronounce it, which means to devour. So, ooh, yes, the insects are devouring their food, and when they are eating so crazy, maybe they are eating frantically, then there's a lot of debris that comes from that, and then as they digest the food, then they create excrement, and it's all frass. It's all frass. There's more at the word fret. Wonder why. Okay, now we shall go to frat, F-R-A-T, noun from circa 1895. The synonym is the 1C definition for the word fraternity, which is coming up real soon. But first we have to go fraternal, adjective from the 15th century. Number 1A, of, relating to, or involving brothers. I don't have anything that's fraternal, because I have no blood brothers, but I have people in my life who would identify as males, and I would call them my soul brothers, I guess. Would that be the proper term? If you think we are soul brothers, then you can message me and say, I concur, dear soul brother. Number 1B, of relating to or being a fraternity or society, as in a fraternal order. And these orders, they tend, at least in history, they tended to be, you know, very genderized and say, no, it's a fraternal order, so only the boys can come, the men, the dudes. But do we see many, what would be sorority orders? Wait, what would the word be? What would the equivalent word be for sisters? I mean, there's fraternities and sororities in Greek college stuff. But, you know, because you don't hear it very often, I can't think of what the equivalent word would be. But my point for bringing that up is that, isn't it interesting that it's the men who were like, we are going to create these orders, these groups, these secret societies that the men get to do, and the women are like, we don't need a society for that. We don't need to do that. Why would we do that? If you have any thoughts or opinions on that, let me know. Email me or whatever. So yes, sororal, that's the word. Have you ever even heard that word? A few of you might have, but I sure haven't. Sororal is a characteristics of a sister, sisterly. And then there's sororit. Oh, that's something totally different. And then, of course, there's sorority. But yeah, we don't typically have a sororal order. A sororder. Maybe somebody needs to make one. I don't know. Number 2, derived from two ova. And I think I could have said that better. Derived from two ova. The synonym is dizygotic. The example, of course, is fraternal twins. So we got fraternal twins and we got identical twins. And the identical twins are from when the one ova, the one egg meets the one sperm. And then that something happens in there that that egg says, you know what? That ova says, I am going to split into two beings, two from the same genetic material. But the fraternal twins is when the ovary releases two eggs. There's two eggs at the same time going through the system, and then they each get fertilized by a sperm, and then they each grow into new beings, and they're using similar genetic material from the parents, but it's not the exact same genetic material. And so they, you know, they might look very same or different, but anytime there are twins who are different genders, they're definitely fraternal twins because, you know, of course, you know, down the line, if they're identical twins, one of them might realize, well, actually, I am not this gender. I'm a different gender. So that's a different thing. But we're just talking biologically here. Okay. So dizygotic is a, I think if you are a fraternal twin, you should definitely be saying, we are dizygotic twins. Number three, the synonyms for fraternal are friendly and brotherly. Hey, brother, hey, friend, how's it going? I am going to treat you well, so I am fraternal. Fraternalism is a noun, and fraternally is an adverb. You can do something fraternally when you are acting friendly, and that's how I want to be all the time. So, this word, we probably know it. It's from the Latin frater, which means brother, and there's more at the word brother. Fraternal. Oh, frater. What have we done? Blah! Next is fraternity. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, a group of people associated or formally organized for a common purpose, interest, or pleasure. So they're all getting together for a common purpose, a common interest. They're interested in the same thing, or they have the same pleasures. What are your pleasures? I've got the same pleasures as you. So they all get together to do whatever they're going to do. And examples of these would be, we have four examples. 1A, a fraternal order. Not a sororal order, a fraternal order. But it doesn't say anything about being men or women or anything. You know, there's the fraternal order of the water buffaloes, and I think that one specifically might be all men, but some of them are like, you know, the eagles and the lions. I think they're multigendered, which is great. 1B, the synonym, is the number one definition for the word guild, G-U-I-L-D. So, oh, there's a guild of people getting together to discuss their common pleasures of crocheting. 1C, a men's student organization formed chiefly for social purposes, having secret rites, and a name consisting of Greek letters like Zeta, Zeta, Zeta. Oh, Zeta. Is that one of them? I think so. It's not the last one. Omega is the last one. Okay, yes, of course. This is the fraternity in the colleges with the Greek letters. And why do they have Greek letters? Did it start in the Greek world? It probably did. And we have kept that up. Is there anything else that they do that's Greek? Or is it just, you know, hanging out, having a built-in group of people, friends, hopefully, meeting people, having parties. Did I say that? Let's say it again. More parties. Doing sports. Having their secret rites. Oh, you can't know about what we're doing in our free time, or what we're doing, what you got to do to get in part of the fraternity. We can't tell you. It's a secret. Yes, this never appealed to me. I was not the fraternity type. And so, yes, I avoided all of that for sure. Okay, 1D. A student organization for scholastic, professional, or extracurricular activities, as in a debating fraternity. And yeah, I guess I've heard that there are fraternities devoted to a specific thing, a specific interest. Are they the same types of fraternities where you're living in the house? Or is it more of just a group that meets periodically to discuss their love of the crocheting, possibly, or debating? Maybe both. Maybe you're debating and crocheting at the same time. All right, number two, the quality or state of being brothers. As in, no, the synonym is brotherliness. We have so much brotherliness because we are such good friends. We're such good friends that we are practically soul brothers. Number three, persons of the same class, profession, character, or tastes. As in, the racetrack fraternity. So, I guess what that example is saying is that there are people who go to the racetrack a lot to bet on the people racing, the dogs, the horses, the cars, the people. Are people betting on people races? They're in the same class, or are these the people who work at the racetracks? That's the racetrack fraternity? Interesting. What fraternity are you a part of? I'm part of the horse racing fraternity. I'm not sure. Okay, now, that's it for fraternity. We don't need any more etymology, so we're going to go to the very last word by saying fraternize. Fraternize, with a Z at the end. This is a verb from 1611, starting with intransitive, and it looks like it might be only intransitive. Number one, to associate or mingle as brothers or on fraternal terms. Fraternizing with your brothers. Interesting, because there are other definitions that I think are going to be, if you combine the two definitions together, it gives you a little bit of a different situation. So let's move on to 2A. To associate on close terms with members of a hostile group, especially when contrary to military orders. So this is like you are friendly with the hostile group. The military orders probably told you, hey, go kill that hostile group, please. But you're like, nah, don't wanna. I'm not into that. I'm going to fraternize with them. I'm going to pretend that they're my brothers, and I'm going to be friendly and nice to them. And I think that's pretty cool. Number 2B, to be friendly or amiable. Or amiable? Maybe it's amiable. Friendly, nice. If you're just being cool with somebody, you're fraternizing with them, because typically, you know, this word is coming from the idea of your brother, and a lot of people like their brother. They're probably going to treat them well. They might have some fun wrestling or arguing or something, but in general, deep down, they love each other, and it's great. And so that's the whole idea of just being friendly and cool with another person, fraternizing. It typically, with this last definition, it typically has that tinge of, ooh, you're fraternizing with maybe somebody you're not supposed to be fraternizing with. Ooh, maybe you're getting a little too cozy with them. Fraternizing with the enemy. Fraternizing with somebody in a sexy situation, possibly. I don't know. The possibilities are endless. Fraternize. Fraternization is a noun, and fraternizer is also a noun. I shall be a fraternizer when I am being nice to the hostile group, and they will be fraternizing with me as well, because I am a hostile group to them. But I'm not hostile, that's the thing. And that's the fraternizer that I want to be. Let's bring people together. Let's not have so many wars and fighting and killing and hate. Okay, we must pick a word of the episode. Today we had Franklin, Franklin Stove, Frankly, Frank Pledge, Frantic, Frap, Frappe, Frappe, Fraser Fur, Frass, Frat, Fraternal, Fraternity, and Fraternize. This is an interesting one I got. I got some good options here. Some very tasty options. Some nice options. Let's see. What do we want to pick? I guess I shall... look, I'm tempted to pick Frappe. The chilled milkshake. Oh, I could sure go for a milkshake right now. Should I go get one? Oh, that's probably a bad idea. I'm going to have to work out a lot. I don't even remember the last time I had a Frappe milkshake. Okay. Well, you know what? Let's just pick fraternize as the word of the episode. Fraternizing, fraternizing. We're all just being cool and nice. Fraternize, fraternize. We're fraternizing with a hostile group. Boop. All right. It's movie time. What movie? It was, Desert Hearts. This was a movie that I was not aware of. Sharon had heard of it or found it or something. And it was one of those, I guess, good 80s movies. I think she was looking up 80s movies. And it came up on the list. And I don't even know if she had ever heard of it. But this seems like probably a very important lesbian movie from the 80s. This was 40 years ago, and so I think the creation of this movie was probably a very impactful moment, at least in film, in the queer community. And, I think so it probably has a very important place for that. But I also was noticing or thinking during the movie that this movie is such a product of that time. I don't know when the story takes place. It seemed like it could have taken place in the 80s, but with the cars and stuff, it also probably took place 10 to 30 years before that. It was a little bit hard to tell, to be honest. I could look it up, I guess. But what I was thinking was that if this was made now and took place now, it would be very quick. It's a very slow burn, it would have to be a whole new film because they would probably get over a certain point, get to a certain point much quicker, and then there would be a whole other thing. So it'd just be a whole different thing. It's not like I'm saying that we should remake this movie. I'm just saying. So I don't know what year it takes place. Here. Yes, it does say 1950s. But it was made in the 80s. So yes, it was a period piece in the 50s because all the cars were old. So yes, in the 50s, this was a very different time. And in the queer world. I like to use the word queer just as an all-encompassing thing. I think most people are accepting of that. I don't know. If you have a problem with it, let me know. That's fine. But it seems like most people are A-okay with that word to mean, that world in general. It's just a much easier, quicker thing to do. But if it's disrespectful, I want to hear. Okay, that's it. That is the end of this episode. Thank you oh so much for checking out my show. And I sure would appreciate it if you let people know that you really, really love it. You sure do. And, do all the things, write, review, subscribe, download, comment, like, blah, 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 all that stuff. It's so exhausting. This has been Spencer dispensing information in a nice way, not drinking a frappe. Frap the sail! Goodbye.